You'll have a series of questions. I will read the answer, a comment, some cases longer, some cases shorter. Why did Christ found the church? He founded the church as his kingdom on earth in order to provide all human beings with the means they need for their redemption and salvation. You see, when we begin, we are Catholics. You are not Protestants. We believe that God became man and died on the cross to redeem us. That verb is tusha, to redeem us from sin. Well, that was only the beginning. Having died on the cross, the moment Jesus expired, the church came into existence. That is an article of the Catholic faith. In other words, it is not only that we've been redeemed from sin, but God became man to provide us with the graces that we need. How crucial this is for the graces we need, with which then we, with our free wills, can cooperate with the grace of God. That last statement is absolutely, utterly, totally denied by every inheritor of the so-called Protestant Reformation. There was no Protestant Reformation. Only a Protestant Revolution. Among the teachings of Martin Luther that Pope Leo X condemned 3 years after Luther broke with the church, an apostate priest and religious, among the articles of faith, Luther claimed the only way we can use our free will is to commit sin. We live in an Anglo-Saxon culture. How much we have to know. Why did Christ found the church? He'll provide us with the graces we need, with which, I repeat, we are to cooperate and thus reach our heavenly destiny. We are not, as Calvin, page after page after page, kept repeating, some are predestined for everlasting happiness, others, we hesitate using the words, predestined for everlasting damnation. What is the apostolate? The apostolate is every activity of the church by which she leads the human race to its eternal destiny. Remember, over the years in making the spiritual exercises, the principle and foundation. Why did God make us? He made us to might here on earth know, love, and serve Him, and thereby reach our eternal destiny. And the church was founded by Christ to provide us with the means we need to reach that destiny. Are all members of the church to cooperate in this apostolate? Yes. So true is this, that any member of the church who does not work for her growth must be considered useless, both to the church and to himself. Unquote the Second Vatican Council. Being a member of Christ's mystical body carries with it some grave obligations. Now the least of which is to cooperate in every possible way with the means which the church gives us. And remember, not only for our own salvation, in fact, I won't try repeating this until we finish this weekend retreat. Either we help others reach heaven, or we won't make it ourselves. Are the laity, therefore, to engage in this apostolate? Yes. They are called by God to exercise their apostolate as 11 in the world. The laity, the church tells us, sharing the priestly, prophetic, and royal office of Christ by their work of evangelization and sanctification. By their effort, have the gospel spirit permeate the temple order. By their witness to Christ and their zeal to promote the salvation of mankind. How well I know how little the Second Vatican Council, the real Second Vatican Council, is known. And for the first 15 years after the Second Vatican Council, the only translation in English, as I've said so often, over 2,000 positive errors in translation. All kinds of ideas put into the words of the council which the council never made. In other words, in all members of Christ's mystical body, we have a duty to cooperate with the Savior in, well, what else? Saving the world. And this not only is the theme of our retreat, it should be, dare I call it, the theme of our lives. Who are the people in my life, always beginning first with the members of my own family, and all the people whose lives either I already touch or I can touch. I repeat, there's no option. What is the foundation of the lay apostolate? Hear it. The foundation of the lay apostolate is membership in the mystical body of Jesus Christ. This membership begins with the sacrament of baptism and is strengthened by the sacrament of confirmation. We become members of Christ's mystical body, which is the church, the moment we were baptized. And we were confirmed. How casual that word can be in so many people's minds. If our, in the science of linguistics, as I've said so many times, if our fort, fortress, fortitude, firm, confirmation, strength. And do we ever need, dear Lord, do we ever need a strong faith today? But let's be clear. The strengthening of our faith, we believe with the mind. The strength of our faith is only as sound and as deep as our minds understand what we believe. Next month, June the 15th, we're having the annual Church Teachers Forum in Louisville, Kentucky. You're all cordially welcome. And Bishop Buskowitz will be speaking to make sure he would get there. A private plane is being chartered, picking up in Lincoln, bring him to Louisville, and give him a chance to say what's on his mind. I'm on the program. I was asked, what do you want to speak on? No hesitation. My topic is, understand your faith or lose it. Oh, the number of learned apostate Catholics in our country today. How well I know. We receive the sacrament of confirmation precisely to strengthen our faith. And our faith is only as strong as our minds are convinced of the truth of what we believe. And I've been telling people over the years, only convinced people are courageous people. Everyone else is a coward. We continue. What is the soul of the lay apostolate? The soul of the lay apostolate is the virtue of charity, which is nourished by the sacraments and especially by the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. If there is one virtue that we had better look into during these days of the retreat, it is our virtue of charity. I'm afraid for many people, when they think of charity, not see being uncharitable. To think well, not speaking unkindly to people. Not, as we say, losing your temper, pardon me, unnecessarily. You've got a temper to use it, but never lose it. But charity means that I share with others what they need and that I possess. And the most fundamental treasure that we possess, barring none, is our undiluted, unambiguous, unqualified Catholic faith. What is the soul of the apostolate? The virtue of charity, where I share with others what they need. I repeat, they need nothing more deeply, more constantly, than a strong, sound faith. Faith in whom? Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in what? In everything that it revealed. How wise we have to be. Wise, do I say, shrewd. In making sure that our minds are not seduced by error. Did I tell you last night that I heard while giving the conferences to the Mercedarians, where I was staying within a few miles of the Diocese of Rochester? Did I tell you this? All crucifixes are to be removed from all the churches in Rochester. My God. This is not child's play. Widespread. Widespread, not just unbelief. But unbelief. That is, in its own, dare I use the word, demonic way, apostolic, in spreading untruth, and building on the very simplicity and humility of believing Catholics, to coerce them to give up when before God they believe. That is what we need, as I said last night. We need the Holy Eucharist. Without the Mass, without Holy Communion, and I have to add, without adoration for the Blessed Sacrament, the faith that we now have is not secure. How do the laity exercise their apostolate? They exercise their apostolate, listen, by their enthusiasm to bring everyone to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom we have sent. They recognize their noble obligation of working for the salvation of the whole world. can tell you is the church, the world, needs you. The future of the Catholic Church and certainly of our nation depends on your own believing, understanding your faith, and then, I don't hesitate saying, heroic generosity in sharing with others what you believe. Now, the most fundamental question, are then the laity to be channels of grace to others? Not only are you the lay faithful to be channels of grace, this is your duty. This is the essence of the lay apostolate. According to the graces which you have received, you are to be the instruments of the Holy Spirit to communicate His graces to others. That's where the retreat, I repeat, and I'll keep repeating to boredom. That's what the retreat is all about. To become more closely united with God, more faithful in your practice, you go down the virtues. And if you want to know what virtues you should especially practice, and during this retreat, decide those virtues apply especially to you. You need. What are they? Those virtues in which you most frequently fail. It is both that simple to express and that hard to put into practice. I wouldn't be honest with you if I did not tell you this. I speak first for myself. And I've said so many times, any retreat I ever give to others, I always believe no one needs the retreat more than I do. And the one virtue that I know I desperately need is a virtue whose opposite is laziness. You all naturally, spontaneously, unambiguously lazy. Words on my mind that I won't put on my lips. Twenty-5 years of teaching my fellow Jesuits. Oh, they were there. I think they're wrapped in attention at what I'm saying. Lost in their own dream world. In other words, zeal, industriousness, labor, and the laziest part of our nature, I say this after now almost 60 years in the Society of Jesus. The laziest part of our nature is our mind. As wives have said so often, 90% of the reading that Americans do is fiction. whom I'm occupying at the end of the corridor. Big, thick novel. I saw on the shelf. Thought to myself, it must have 400 pages. 400 nothing. Over 700 pages. In order to exercise this lay apostolate about which we are speaking, we've got to use our minds, exert our intellect, now repeat, to understand what we believe. We ask, what is the role of the hierarchy in this channeling of grace? Remember, the essence of the apostolate for everyone, its heart, is being a communicator of God's grace. But I must have that grace myself. And nobody cheats here. Your family, your wives, your children will receive only as much grace from God through you as you are united with Jesus Christ yourself. Now the hierarchy. The hierarchy are to pass judgment on the authenticity and good use of the gifts of grace which the laity are to communicate to others. However, this judgment is in no way to quench the spirit, but rather to ensure that everything is according to God's holy will. I believe this deserves some explanation. When Christ founded the church, and the church, we repeat, was founded the moment Christ died on Calvary, but for some 3 years, He chose His apostles, trained them, taught them, rebuked them, and among the apostles, one was a traitor, one denied that he even knew Jesus, and one more was a theologian. Thank God. One who denied his master, the theologian, were converted. Over the years of my priesthood, how many times I've been asked by my students and others, why did Christ ever choose a Judas? The full answer only God knows. But one answer I can safely provide. It was Christ foresaw that even as among the apostles there was a Judas. Over the centuries, among the successors of the apostles, there have been Judases. One bishop in the whole of England remained faithful to the Bishop of Rome. Remember? John Fisher. He paid for his fidelity by his life. pray, pray for the successors of the apostles. But remember, Christ founded the church, and He, Christ Himself, is the rock. But then, Christ chose Peter, and ever since, only those are truly faithful to Jesus Christ who are faithful to His vicar. How we need a strong episcopate. How the bishops need our prayers and sacrifices. Because they, as we are here reading, is the successors of the apostles who are to pass judgment on the apostate of the laity. Oh, but the hierarchy themselves must be judged for their authenticity and orthodoxy, by their own fidelity to the Bishop of Rome. There's one thing before we go any further with this retreat that I wish to strongly emphasize. Deepen your love of, devotion to the Vicar of Christ. And on February 2nd, 1953, I pronounced my last vows. Besides the three standard vows that we pronounce, of consecrated chastity, poverty, and obedience, I pronounce the vow of a lifelong fidelity to the Bishop of Rome. Only God knows the price I've paid. In now, what is it? 43 years. Among the teachings of Vatican II, none I consider more practically important than the Vatican Council telling us the bishops are indeed successors of the apostles. As long as they are kept in office, they are to be followed and obeyed. But what an important adversative this is. What they teach and what they order is only as binding as their teaching and their decrees are confirmed by and consistent with the teaching and the laws of the Bishop of Rome. Among the organizations the Holy See has encouraged me to start is one, Cordiate Verifica, based in Washington, D.C. We're asking the Observatore Romano to promote the circulation of that weekly newspaper of the Holy Father. One meeting of one issue of the Observatore Romano, sponsored and financed on, well, begging money, increased the circulation by 15% in the United States. Read what the Holy Father says. know what he teaches and know what he condemns. Here in Chicago, an organization of professedly Catholic women protesting the ordination of men and listen to this, telling the bishops to stop ordaining men until women are admitted to the priesthood. Widely publicized in his beloved city of Chicago. On what does the fruitfulness of the lay apostate depend? And this is everything. That's what this retreat is all about. The council answers. The fruitfulness of the lay apostate depends on how closely the lay faithful are united with Jesus Christ. This follows from what our Lord himself told us. Quote, whoever dwells in me and I in him bears much fruit. For separated from me, you can do nothing. Unquote the Savior, John 15:5. Concretely, therefore, the deeper our own spiritual life, the more effective will we be in bringing others to Christ. Oh, the sorrow, the agony. I know too many Catholic parents whose children have drifted, to use a mild word, from the faith. What's the secret? That our own lives are deeply, and I mean deeply, united with Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you established your church by the shedding of your blood, and you gave us the privilege of extending your kingdom to the farthest reaches of the world. But you will use us as channels of your grace only in the measure that we are united with you by our loyalty to your teaching and our fidelity to your example. We beg you, dear Jesus, to give us the grace to exert ourselves to the limit, to become as holy as you want us to be, because then, dear Savior, but only then, will you use us to communicate the grace you've given us to those whom you place into our lives. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us in every
blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.